God, you sent Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us into all truth, that we might be signs of your love and faithfulness. Teach us anew through your living word this day. Amen. Signs are all around us, and they come to us in many forms, in many ways, at many times. Signs may point us to that which is true, real, and enduring, or signs may point us to that which is temporal, false, and deceptive. How we see signs may reflect whether we are led astray or whether we hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For a person familiar with a climate in which there are four seasons, the sight of leaves turning from green to yellow to gold to red to brown is a sign that fall has arrived. When the leaves fall from the trees, a person knows that winter is near and will come, but it will be followed by spring and summer and the return of green leaves and flowers. Now imagine another person who is from a tropical part of the world where such seasons do not exist. And if they are all of a sudden placed in our climate, they might see the sign of fallen leaves only as doom, destruction, and death, not knowing that new life will follow. They may think such a sign means that the end of the world has come and nothing can be done to restore life. For them, it might be interpreted as a permanent sign of the end and not a temporal one. And consequently, they might simply be terrified rather than seeing that change as inevitable and a sign of prolonged hope. In today's gospel lesson, one of Jesus' disciples is enamored by the large stones used for the construction of large buildings on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Yet, Jesus quickly points out that these large stones and buildings, which appear to be so enduring and permanent, will soon crumble and be thrown down. The disciple sees such stones as a sign of permanence and strength. Jesus sees such stones as a sign of that which is temporal and pointing to that which the destructive nature of humankind has the capacity to destroy. Shortly after this, when the disciples, at least some of the disciples, are alone with Jesus and viewing the temple from the scenic viewpoint of the Mount of Olives, they ask Jesus for a sign of when such a catastrophe might happen. While hard to believe, we, like the disciples, know that the end, that death, is inevitable. So we then want to know, when is it going to happen? Like them, we don't particularly like mystery, surprise, and not knowing. Jesus is then quick to warn them that the human desire to want a sign, the human desire to predict, or simply to know the future, sometimes makes one vulnerable to being led astray. When we are so desperate to eliminate mystery and reject the inevitable, reject death and destruction, we can become very vulnerable. Regardless of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, strife between nations and famines, the end will still be a future reality to come beyond such catastrophes. It is not the end, says Jesus, but the beginning of birth pangs. Based on the writings of the first century historian Josephus, whose works have survived until this day, we know that there were earthquakes, wars, and famine in first century Palestine. So such catastrophes have been present in every age, experienced by every generation. Things that we think would result in the end are not necessarily that which will bring it about. There may be an end beyond the end. As painful as destruction and suffering is, it will eventually bring new life. Just over a week ago, the residents of Paradise, California, experienced a firestorm which took their homes, their livelihoods, their very community, and for many, their lives. Such devastation and how quickly it came upon a vibrant community of 27,000 people is something most of us are still having a difficult time grasping. What is the future for a person who has lost everything except the clothes they are wearing and perhaps a cell phone, wallet, or purse? Jesus gives us a clue when he points us to the image of a woman in labor on the verge of giving birth. The birth pains are real, strong, and depending upon one's circumstances, may be quite frightful. Yet there is promise in what will be birthed. A woman by the name of Valerie Kaur, who is a Sikh activist and lawyer, gave a speech on December 31st, 2016, at an interfaith service held in Washington State following a series of hate crimes. After sharing the story of her grandfather and that which inspired her to speak and work against hate by becoming a lawyer, she spoke about her fear for her own young, brown-skinned son growing up in America who might one day wear a turban as a sign of his faith. She then says, and I quote, "So the mother in me asks, what if this darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? What if our America is not dead, but a country that is waiting to be born? What if the story of America is one long labor? What if all of our grandfathers and grandmothers are standing behind now, those who survived occupation and genocide, slavery and Jim Crow, detentions and political assault? What if they are whispering in our ears, 'You are brave'? What if this is our nation's greatest transition? What does the midwife tell us to do? Breathe, and then push. Push, because if we don't push, we will die. If we don't push, our nation will die. Tonight we will breathe. Tomorrow we will labor in love, through love, and your revolutionary love is the magic we will show our children." End of quote. Valerie Kaur's words make me wonder, are the grandfathers and grandmothers, the midwives, the ones referred to in our reading from Daniel as those who are wise, those who lead many to righteousness and shine like the stars forever and ever. Are they those the writer of Hebrews in today's reading from that book speaks of as those who have considered how to provoke others to love and good deeds? The fire which destroyed Paradise, California, certainly resulted in the end of that community as it has been known. Yet we can pray that its residents who survived have not just experienced the darkness of the tomb, but are experiencing the darkness of the womb, and eventually will see the light of a new world with hope and a future restored to them. Today, earlier at the 8:30 service at our font, we baptized Abigail Lynn Foster. As people of faith who live on this side of the resurrection, we believe that when Abigail was baptized, she was buried with Christ in a death like his and raised to new life. So at the beginning of her new life in Christ, we proclaim that the end of her life, whenever and however that comes about, is not something to be feared. Even though it will be a final portal, it is one of many portals through which she will hopefully pass in her lifetime to enter into new life again and again. So it is that we, as the church, as the people of God, are continually called to transformation and new life amid and through tragedy, strife, and the tumult of this world. In order not to be led astray, we look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. And we do not neglect meeting together, but we gather around this table Sunday after Sunday to be forgiven, to be renewed, and to be sent to bring a new world into being. We become the sign which we and others seek of that which is true, hopeful, and holds us in steadfast love and faithfulness. May it be so. Breathe and push. Amen.